welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Father, thank you for the privilege. Happy Father's Day to our spiritual father, the one that leads us, the one that is the model for everything we do. God, we are grateful for this day. Thank you for fathers all over the world. But most of all, thank you for the African-American fathers, the foundation of where we are. They are birthed in us, the things that you've called us to do. So God, I pray today that the word of God will go forth with conviction and power, that you would strengthen me by power divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, church. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought today would be a different day, a day that I can share with you openly what I believe that the Lord has given me to say. Today, the theme will be a father's role as defined by God. A father's role as defined by God. Father's Day is a day designed to celebrate men who have been blessed with the gift of fatherhood. It is a day to highlight fatherhood and the parenting done by males, including our forefathers. Father's Day is also an unfortunate reminder that far too many men are emotionally, financially, and spiritually absent in the lives of their children and their communities. Furthermore, this is a time to applaud the men who function as mentors for so many other young people whose fathers have been absent. And as you saw today, that we recognize one of our own, the work that he does. And we love him for that. It's not easy being a dad, but never before has it been more important that we do have good dads. We do have good fathers. These are stressful times and times that require exceptional parenting. Not every biological father is a good dad. And today that there are stepdads who are facing the challenge of being a dad to children who may or may not be ready to accept them as dads. There are also grandfathers who are filling the role of surrogate dads. This is a new world, particularly with great regards to the family. Today, we sincerely salute all those men who are consciously seeking to provide a wholesome Christian environment to young people all over, in whatever role they may be playing. There are many distorted images of what a father should be in his family and to his children. God created Adam for himself, for his own glory, not for man's. Man is the crown of God's creation, and according to Genesis, we were made for God and in his likeness and in his image. We fulfill our eternal purpose when our lives honor God and reflect God's glory. As a father, there are always feelings of inadequacies and questions. Did I really do the best job that I could? Was I there at the time that my children needed me the most? Let's face it, the culture tells us in order to be a successful father, you must attend all the PTA meetings. You must show up to all the little league ball games, all the soccer games, all the dance recitals, all the book club events. If you own a home, your lawn must be nicely manicured, hedges must be trimmed, and your house must be painted. You must always be around. And when we don't meet these expectations, we feel as though we have failed as fathers. I would like today to share with you five qualities in this role as fathers as defined by God. Don't let somebody else put a benchmark on what you should do as a father. We need to know what God has already said in His Word. I'm talking to Christian fathers, but I'm talking to men all over the world. The first one I see is in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 9. It says, "These commandments that I have given you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The first quality I see that God wants us to have is to be able to, fathers need to be able to teach their children. Oh yeah, you need to be able to teach. You are the headship. You are the one that God has put all authority upon. How we live is more important because it backs up what we say. See, God's people ought to make their homes places where God dwells, where the scriptures are honored, where we are not ashamed of the faith that God has given us. God is telling fathers that we have a responsibility to teach the child to love him with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul, everything that's inside of you. He says, talk about it when we sit down or when we walk along the road, when we lie down to sleep, and when we get up first thing in the morning. We need to have these conversations with our children before they even go out to school. The teaching continues all day. We are to tie those scriptures to their hands and foreheads and write them on the door frames of houses and gates. You see, in the early church, the Jews took these commandments seriously. They wove them on their foreheads in a small container called phylacteries. These phylacteries, they even tied a belt to their left arm with these scriptures. They were supposed to commend these scriptures to memory. But if they couldn't memorize them, they would be able to take that box and look at what God's word say. They would be able to take the belt that was on their left arm and see what God's word would say. See, teaching doesn't happen by accident. We have to teach on purpose. We have to plan it or it probably won't get done. See, fathers, teach your children to love God. As fathers, it's our responsibility to ensure that God's greatest gift to us are provided with the tools that they need to live meaningful and fulfilling lives. We have to teach them what it means to be black in America. Black fathers throughout this country struggle to raise their sons and their daughters in a world where they seemingly have bullseyes on their back. We can never be satisfied as fathers as long as our children are stripped of their ambitions and robbed of their dignity because of the color of their skin. A black father, we have to remind our children that this world is not organized in their favor. If they are going to achieve their dream, they have to be twice as good as everybody else. They have to work twice as hard as everybody else. Fathers are to teach. They are to be the light of the world, the light to their family. They need to know the importance of this quality. We have to teach them what God has given us to share with us. Fathers, we applaud you in every aspect of your doing. The next quality that I see as fathers in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 32, it says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem, and with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. This is Mark 10, 32. The quality I see here, a father needs to be able to lead by example. You need to be the one that's out front. You need to be the one with the bullseye on your back. You need to be the one that show them what life is really about. See, in this text, Mark tells us that Jesus was leading his followers towards the city. The word used for lead here means to go before a group. Jesus was out in front of his followers. He was showing them the way. Given all the opposition Jesus encountered with religious folk, going back to Jerusalem brought fear and bewilderment to these followers. They couldn't figure out why would he want to go back to a place that potentially are going to kill him. Why would he want us to go back? That's why we are astonished and afraid, because we're following him. Is he leading us into the last steps of life? See, the Father's is really an instrument in God's hand. Y'all didn't get that. Yeah, you're one of the tools that God has pulled out of the toolbox. Matter of fact, you're the first tool that he pulled out of the box. You become the hammer, the nail, you become the screwdriver. You become every instrument because he placed it in front of the family. Because you are the one that he's going to use to do everything. If you need a saw, you become the saw. If you need a drill, you become the drill. A father's first responsibility is to acquaint his children with Scripture. He must lay down the standard and the law of God for all that transpires in the home. He must insist and maintain obedience in the Lord. As the head of the home, the father must first of all serve the Lord himself. He must be able to confront his family with the comfort of the Lord in times of fear and distress. In time of fear, distress, and trouble, he must know how to bring his family to the throne of grace in times of need, in times of confession of sin, and in times of sickness and death. See, fathers, we're going to blow it sometimes. I know that. I'll be the first one to admit that. We're going to make mistakes along the way. But our families, they don't need us to be perfect, but they desperately need us to be present. A father that leads by example will instill principles and values that will be a lasting reminder, so that when our children do depart, those principles and values won't depart from them. We need to teach them, but we also need to be an example. The third quality that I see is found in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 11 through 12. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is Joshua 24, 15. This is Joshua speaking. But in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And just as the father, son, whom he delights. The third quality is a father needs to be able to discipline. Oh, yeah, we need to be able to put things in check. We need to be able to correct what's not going right. Through the course of our children's lives, as they grow up in our homes, there are many times when they will not like us as parents. We have to say or do things that will run against the grain. In response to our discipline, children will often have crying spells, be non-communicative, or even walk away to demonstrate that they do not like us. As a father, we must choose our battles. Every issue is not worth going to the mat over. But when it has to do with basic responsibilities of life, when it has to do with the Word of God, when it has to do with what is objectively true and whatever is objectively right, or even the real rules of the household, then I think we have to draw some clear lines. See, tangible consequences produce tangible results. One must say what he means and back up his word with actions. My grandmama used to always tell me, she said, boy, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I'm still trying to process that and figure that out. But she was backing up her words with action. It's a testimony to a father's integrity and an example to his children, which will go with them throughout their lives. See, raising the standards for our children involves unconditional love and acceptance. See, all of us have two emotional needs. We have a physical need, and we have verbal affirmation. We need to be told that we are loved and that we are needed. We also need daily doses of discipline and denial. We need to have boundaries and realize consequences, responsibilities, and obligations are almost profane in our culture today. We have lost our sense of commitment and the will to do anything difficult, anything we dislike, or anything we simply don't want to do. It seems our feelings determine what we do, how much we do, and how long we would do it. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. I would rather discipline my children before I let them get shot. I would rather discipline my children before I put them in a position where they have to have somebody's knee on their neck. I would rather discipline my children so we know that they know that black lives do matter. It's a father's responsibility. Don't wait till they're in the back of the police car to try to be their father. We have to prepare them before they get to that point. We're all going to fail and make bad decisions, but we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly all we ask or think. That's the third quality that I see in a father as defined by God. The fourth quality I see is in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And he says, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. A father is there for his children, as Jesus is there for us. God wants to and can reestablish the heart relationship between a father and his children. Time and attention have been given to other things, and those things, practically speaking, have become more important than our families. See, family does matter. See, a father's availability, meaning the access that children have to their fathers, is important because children need to interact with their fathers, regularly and know that at any moment they will be there for them. See, our actions and words must demonstrate that our kids occupy a space, a special place in our lives, and they have access to us that no one else had other than our spouses. See, being able to share myself is a difficult process at times. I'm always trying to be open to every point of view. I'm always trying to be available to everyone that's in need. The one who walks with integrity will have depth and strength of character. This person will not be easily swayed by the winds and currents of the culture, but by the fads and forms of society. None of these things will be relevant. But the father will become a visible model of the transforming power of Christ in the context of the environment. More and more men are becoming aware that they have not had it all in their relationship with their children, and now they are willing to do whatever it takes to stay connected. It's never too late. We may not have been there on the front end, but once God has revealed to you the importance of what he established in the beginning, that's never too late for us. Black fathers are needed more and more, especially now in this time of pandemic. The final principle that I'm going to share is equality. It's seen in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, the quality that I see here is a father displays love. See, the husband is the head or the leader of the wife. He should lead with tender, loving care. As fathers, we are responsible for helping our families avoid the experiences that will lead them astray or that will cause them to fall into sin, causing them pain and loss. Fathers have to set moral boundaries for their families. Then there's an area of brokenness. As men, we sometimes do not want to take the responsibility for our own behavior and choices in life. To be broken has to do with understanding that I have come to the end of myself, that in my human nature, I do not have the resources to please God. But brokenness expresses my need for and total reliance upon someone greater than myself. See, when I'm broken, I realize that I must completely trust in God's sufficiency, for his grace is sufficient for me. I believe that there is a side of a father that feels and shares his emotions just as a woman does with her children. Having compassion and or exhibiting intimacy does not make you less than a man. It is very important that as fathers, we must continue to show our affections and take a positive role in caring for our children. A touch lets the father's children know that they have access to his heart, regardless of the things that we want them to do, want them to be our place we want them to occupy in the world. They need to know that they have access to your heart. They need to know that you have affections just like their mother. They need to know that you love them no matter what. Just as Jesus had intimacy with his father, we are expected to have intimacy with each other. There will be family conflict whenever we begin to doubt the truthfulness of what God has said or question his restrictions and his commandments. See, spiritual weakness makes our homes vulnerable. The head of the home needs the full spiritual armor offered by God. A total man is one who understands and really accepts the responsibility for the development of his mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity, and demonstrates this by his maturing attitude and action in personal life. The tragedy or the blessing is that we tend to raise our children the way we were raised. More often than not, we become the end result of what has been done to us more than what has been said to us. These are the qualities that I see in a father. But I looked at a story of a father soaring like an eagle. Did you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it breaks? The eagle will fly to some high spot and wait for the winds to come. When the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. While the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm's lift to go higher. It rises on the winds that bring the storm. Well, why is this important for fathers? Because when the storm of life comes upon us, like the eagles, we can rise above them and ride the winds of the storm that bring racism, the storm that brings police brutality, the storm that brings hate, the storms that bring a pandemic, the storm that brings tragedy, the storms that fail, the storm that brings doubt and disappointment into our lives. The peace we seek in the middle of our storm does not come from the storm being over. It comes from God being in the midst of our storm. So today, thank God for fathers who have stood their ground under harsh circumstances, who even with hurting hands and sometimes heavy hearts have chosen to love their children rather than lead their children. Thank God for fathers who chose to impart wisdom, to teach value of work, the need for integrity, the audacity of hope, the magic of kindness, and the ever-ringing sound of love. On this Father's Day, may the liberating and lifting gospel of Jesus Christ cause broken men to come to their senses, fractured families to be healed, and new possibilities to be experienced. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for all that you do. Thank you for the excitement. Thank you for the passion. Thank you for the love. Thank you. You said that if you would be lifted up, you would draw all men unto thee. So on this Father's Day, as we recognize you as the source of everything that we have, we pray for strength for the earthly fathers, as you have selected us out of the tool chest to be the one that will lead our family, to be the one that will lead our communities, to be the one, God, that will be a man after your own heart. So, God, today we say thank you. And I pray, God, that if anybody is listening of the sound of my voice, if they don't know you, God, in the pardon of their sins, I pray, God, you said that if they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised you from the dead, salvation is theirs. You say, whosoever will, let him come. And I pray, God, that if they're listening, it's very simple. All you have to do is admit. All you have to do is believe. We love you, God. We praise you, and we thank you for the Church of Redeemer for allowing us to be the beacon light to a dark, dark world, God. We know that we have help because you are our help in time of trouble, God. We thank you. We praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name as they sing. God bless you, church. I love you. Fathers, happy Father's Day. And I pray that you will be the epitome of what God has called us to do. And that's be out in front. He said, be the one that they see first. Not be in the back, but be the one leading. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are my strength. Strength like